Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
First Corinthians chapter 12 says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, what's the manifestation of the Spirit? It's the revealing of the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, even though you can't see him, he can be revealed. You can't see the wind, but you can see the evidence of the wind. And so you can see the manifestations of the Spirit. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Who's each one? I'm an each one, amen? Yeah. So, you know, out of all these weeks, if you haven't learned anything, I want you to learn this, get down inside your heart, inside your spirit, and know that you know that you know. If you're born again, the Spirit can work through you. In fact, the Spirit of God has given each of you, say each of us, that means me, the gifts of the Spirit, not just one, but the entirety of them, all right, is given to each one for what? For the profit of all. And it goes on to, for each one's given, we won't step down to verse 9 because that's where we're going, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, if I came over here and I had a wad of $100 bills, and I gave Miss Bristol a $100 bill, and I skip over here and I give Pastor a $100 bill, and I skip way over here and I give Justin a $100 bill, but I miss a lot of them. Is that what it says? He's going to give just some? To what? To each one, corporately, individually, as he wills. Now, as he wills does not mean that he's going to choose one, because he already said, I'm going to give to each one individually. As he wills, sometimes he wills to give a word of knowledge through somebody. Sometimes he wants to work a miracle through somebody. Sometimes he wants to do healing from somebody, supernaturally. Sometimes he wants to give a gift of tongues or interpretation to somebody. That's his will. He just chooses what he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. All right. You know, if there's anything that will help you flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, learning to hear and recognize God. Hey, that's a cool-looking shirt. Oh, swimsuit. Okay. Yeah. Can I wear them? Oh, I like flamingos. Don't buy me none, though. If you see some in guard, say, don't buy me a JC. I don't want it in my front yard. All right, I'm not from Oklahoma. Oh. All right, that's not from the gift of Spirit. Is hearing the voice of God. See, the reason that you're probably not flowing, you have knowledge of now, the reason you're not flowing in one of the gifts, in all the gifts, is because you don't have confidence that you're hearing from God. And so you have to learn how to hear God's voice. Because God's not going to send you an email or a text message and say, you know, here's a word of knowledge for Miss Lori tonight. You won't hear it by the voice of God. And so what all these gifts will flow through hearing the voice of God, because that's what motivates you to move out into it. All righty? If you have any questions at the very end about anything, so just write them down and we'll hold them to last. Okay, the gifts of faith, healing, and miracles are called power gifts. I kind of took these out of order. You know, we talked about the inspirational gifts and the vocal gifts, and there we are right in the middle. Those other six is the gifts of faith, healings, and miracles. Because they call the power gifts because what they do, they vividly demonstrate God's power over disease, demons, death, and every destructive force. All right, types of faith. We're talking about the gifts of faith. There's types of faith. There's a natural faith. You know, everybody has natural faith. And I thought about this. You know, even babies, they have faith. They really do. You know, they don't, when their mother picks them out, picks them up out of the crib, they don't have a squalling fit because, what if she drops me? They just trust. When they put them get in the bath first time, they she's going to probably drown me. No, they have faith. They have faith. When they're hungry, they have faith that they're going to get fed. So, I mean, we just have this natural faith. It's like a farmer that plants seed, he expects a harvest. You don't plant your garden and think, well, I hope it comes up. You know, what if it don't? You know, no, you just expect it. That's faith. That's a natural thing. It's in us. We all operate this faith every day of our life. We turn on our showers, our coffee makers, start our cars by faith. But when those things don't work, you know, if you're driving a Ford there and you get out and don't start, you don't say, I'm never going to drive a car again in my life. This car stuff just does not work. See, we use faith, but when it don't work in the natural, we don't just give up on it. We go buy a Chevrolet, Duramax. Amen? Yeah, or we fix it. Then there's saving faith. You know what? You know, a lot of denominational churches, they think all this is just saving faith. And there is a saving faith. You know, it's a faith by which we are saved. It's believing in Jesus Christ. We believe by faith. He's the Son of God. He died. He rose for our sins. Rose from the grave. He delivers for our sins. And, you know, remember when Paul was in jail and they broke you out, and jailer, he was all panicky there, and Paul said, you know, if you'll just believe, if you'll have faith, not only you can get saved, but also if you have faith, your whole household can get saved. I mean, that's a promise God's standing on right there. All right, then here's what believing faith is. We know this. I mean, if you've been in this church the very, very beginning, if you back in 1997, you probably started hearing some faith messages. Amen? We've always taught faith in this house because that's been such a part of our life. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Romans 12:3 says, God has given everyone the measure of faith. You know, I've taught that so many times over and over and over. If you haven't got it, I believe you will get it. Yeah, I believe you'll get it. You know, now the measure is not quantity or level. If God gives you the measure of faith, I'm going to tell you what. It's 100% faith. Did you know that? You may not operate in it. I didn't say that. But when you have faith as a believer, which all believers are, or you've been given the measure of faith, it's like you get 100%. You have the same faith that Jesus Christ had. Isn't that something? Very same faith. Oh, that kind of faith will, that 100% level of faith, you can do anything. That's why Jesus said very boldly, all things are possible to him who believes. Why? Because you have the measure of faith. But listen to me right now. It's not a faith teaching, but listen to me. The measure, I can have a 5-gallon bucket of water that's full to the top. That's a measure. That's 100% faith, 100% water. But if I just drank a little dropper full, I'm just getting a dropper full. Same way with faith. You got enough faith to move a mountain, Jesus said. You got enough faith to raise the dead. You got enough faith to heal the sick. You got enough faith that you can do anything that lines up with the Word of God. But you may be using only 0.001% of that faith. There's some of you using 10%. There's some of you using 20%. There's some of you using 50%. Faith is a level. I mean, there's different levels of faith. You all got the same faith. But if you're going to walk in extreme faith, it's going to take, you have to develop your faith. Even though you've got the whole thing given to you, you got to, it's there. You don't have to activate it. It's there. You just got to learn how to use it and begin to walk it. All right? All right. The gift of faith. The gift of faith. Now, this This is a spiritual gift. And it's different than the faith that we teach. It's more like maybe faith on steroids. No matter how much faith you operate in, you're probably not going to muster up enough faith to kill a fig tree. I don't care if you're a tongue-talking, spirit-walking, Holy Ghost man and stays in the Word all day long. You're probably not going to have enough faith to say, mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea. Maybe you do. If you do, I want you to help me, all right? I've seen cancer healed. I don't know how many people I've cursed in Jesus' name, just see it dried up. The first year we was in this church, in this building, not the first year in this church, we had 5 people healed of incurable cancers. One guy is in his lungs, and they operated on him twice and couldn't find it. And they said, you just live a short time. And we was operating at a very high level of faith on getting people healed for cancer. Because the very first one got healed. I mean, we had faith healing cancer. Amen? Oh, we've seen lots of things happen. But like I said, there's no way I got faith to move a mountain. But though Jesus said you can have the faith to move a mountain if I'm operating 100%. But I'm talking about, you know, we can have this kind of the gift of faith. I'm not talking about the faith that we teach here in this church. I'm talking about a spiritual gift. The gift of faith is completely different. It's supernatural above faith. It's all. Remember in Mark 11:22 when Jesus cursed the fig tree, it died. And so they asked Jesus about it. In verse 22, he says, I think King James says, have faith in God. Some translation says, have faith in God. But when you study that out in the Greek, here's what it means. It means have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Isn't that powerful? You think, man, I mean, when Jesus said in John chapter 14, said, you'll do greater works than I do because I go to the Father. So it's going to take a different kind of level of faith to do what he says to do. He says, have the faith of God. Can you imagine how much faith God has? I mean, God has never doubted anything in his life, in his eternity. I mean, when he says, let there be light, he went, well, what if it don't work? He had faith. Everything he created was by faith, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Faith. And so this is a different kind of faith. This is not a trusting, expecting kind of faith. Oh, you can read my notes there because he's got them out. I'm going to kind of skip some things. But, you know, here's what God's faith does. It parts seas. It parts seas. I mean, Moses is part of it. I mean, but can you imagine walking up to a big, wide, raging river that's several feet deep and all of a sudden you just wave your sword and stick at it and all of a sudden it just dries up and you go across on not muddy land but on dry land? I mean, that took faith. That wasn't, you know, I'm going to pray and fast and believe that's going to happen, God. No, it was extreme faith. Extreme faith. Smith Wigglesworth is one of my favorites. I've read book after book. I've read all his books, studied his works. Heard men that were one-on-one with Smith Wigglesworth, modern-day men. This guy was just a plumber. I mean, he walked in a different level of faith than a lot of people do. We talked about Catherine Kuhlman. She walked in a different level of faith. She was weird. Yeah, she was weird. I heard her one time. Very weird. Mystery, very weird. But she walked in an incredible faith. And I was telling Luann, we heard this story one time, testimony about her. And she's preaching a huge coliseum in California one time. And ministering, people were getting healed. And all of a sudden, they brought this general in. He's a World War I, World War II veteran. I can't remember the story. But he was a big man, probably 6'2 or 3, and they said, and probably weighed 230 pounds. And had him in his uniform. He came. They brought him in there. And he had shriveled up to weighing about 110 pounds. Just his uniform just draped all over him. And someone brought him in and believed he'd get healed. And she's just going along preaching in her little flowing gowns and everything, you know, and her little funny little voice, she said. And all of a sudden, through the sound system going, pow! She said, what was that? Pow! What was that? Pow! Somebody fixed the sound system. Pow! And everybody began to shout. And this general sitting on the back of the church, the power of God was going through him. And all of a sudden, his body filled that uniform out, got out of that wheelchair and walked and lived. Supernatural faith. Smith Wigglesworth was just a plumber. Just a plumber. His wife was a very strong believer. You know, he'd go with her and he'd pass out Bibles and tracts. He just didn't feel called to preach. In fact, you know, isn't it kind of strange, you know, in his day and time, he wasn't very well liked. Very unpopular. And today in the 21st century, he's a very, very popular preacher. But they didn't like him. Couldn't preach very good. He wasn't very entertaining or anything. But man, that guy, he knew how to walk in the gift of faith. That was just beyond regular kind of faith. He came home from work one day. These things are documented. This is not much make-believe junk. Things were documented. He came home from work one day, and his wife had been dead for hours laying on the floor. He grabs her, shoves her up against the wall. He said, live in Jesus' name. She came back to life. Another time, I heard the guy that was there, Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall just died a few years ago. He was with him one time. They in England. And this guy died, and the preacher, wasn't Sumrall, but the preacher of the church there, he said, I need to go to this house over there. My family member died and said, I need to go by and just say my regards. Said, do you want to go with me? And Smith said, yes, I'll go with you. They started over and he said, wait just a minute. This guy's been dead for 3 days. Don't try anything funny. He walks in the house there. They got all the family there. They got these big French doors, glass doors, and it divides off the dining room. And all the tables and chairs have been moved out. They got the casket leaned up against the wall. This is documented by medical doctors. And so everybody's visiting there. The pastor looks over and Smith is done gone. This guy is sitting in his best suit, leaned up against the wall. And the pastor said about time, or the guy he's pastoring that church he's in, he said about that time, so Smith grabbed him, he's a big guy, grabbed him by his shirt here, and jerked me out of that casket, and he said, I command life into you in Jesus' name, and let go of him. The guy, and everybody by that time, they heard him. I mean, he was loud. Everybody's looking this deal. He grabs him the second time and slams him up against the wall. I said, in Jesus' name, I said, live. Down the floor. Grabs him the third time and slams him up against the wall. I said, live in Jesus' name. The guy said, what are you doing here? Who are you? Where am I at? Lived. I mean, Kenneth Copeland, I heard a story that he went to the hospital. His sister, his man had been dead for hours. God raised her from dead in the Fort Worth Hospital. Just 20 years, some odd years ago, wasn't it? 25 years ago. Aunt Ida, yeah, Aunt Ida. Yeah. She was dead, done in coal stores back here. And he went back and said, heard God said, command life into her, Kenneth. He said, I command life into you, Ida. God says, that's not loud enough. He said, I command life into you. He said, I don't want anybody to hear me out there. It looks like a fool doing this. He said, I said, command life into her. He said, Ida, in Jesus' name, get up. And she said, Kenneth, what are you doing here? Been dead 6 hours, documented. I mean, they wrote a certificate. We got a spiritual daughter, lives in Orlando, Florida. You know her. Josephine. I mean, how many women she raised from dead? Six? Something like six people in Rwanda. And one of them was a guy that was in the military that's having a big deal. And he was full of bullet holes, wasn't he? You heard that story? Raised him from the dead. Been dead for hours. And, you know, it don't just take, you know, I don't have that kind of faith. That doesn't mean if you die, I'm not going to come over and speak life to you in Jesus' name. I'm not going to try to bring life back to you. I'm going to do everything I can to get you to not leave before your time. Amen? So, you know, it's a supernatural gift of faith. And, You know, how can you tell that you're in it? Because you just have this supernatural confidence. You know, when I pray for people, I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes I don't always pray for faith, with faith. Had a blind lady in Oklahoma one time at a camp meeting. She came down the altar there, and she had the glummest face, like you. And she said, "Oh, can you pray for me? And I've lost my eyesight." And I thought, well, you know, I'm looking at her. She ain't got much faith. And that's because me, I look at her, I don't have much faith either. And so I just said, you know, Jesus healer, in Jesus' name, restore eyesight. And nothing happened. About 2 days later, we got a phone call from the pastor up there that pastors the church there in Oklahoma. He said, "You remember that lady you prayed for that was blind?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "She's in my office," or just came to my office yesterday and said, "She's got 20/20 vision." And see, I couldn't see faith in her. I couldn't see faith in me. But there was a gift of faith working. I told this during camp meeting. I was in Pastor Tim's church back in, was it April when we were last? Anyways, there's this lady. She's sitting kind of where you're sitting on front row. But she was in a wheelchair. And her daughter was another people sitting right there. And so I'm just ministering people getting healed. And I'm just walking, and God said, "Just go over and tell her to get up." So I go over and said, "Can you stand up?" She said, "No." And I just said, "I believe you can. Would you try?" I mean, she stood up. And it's not, I feel like I'm under a super gift of faith anointing. And so I said, "Can you walk?" "No, I can't walk." I said, "I believe you can. I mean, just come out of me." And, you know, when somebody says you can't, you don't take, that just kind of decreases my faith sometimes. "I can't." I said, "I believe you can." She said, she gets up and she starts walking. They go wild in that very subtle church. No, not kidding. They get wild anytime. But I mean, somebody that hadn't walked, they know her, and she gets up and walked, they got kind of wild. That was on a Saturday night or where it was. Didn't another meeting on Sunday morning. She's back over here again, sitting there, worship is going big. Not even altar call, just worshiping God. And I walk over to her and I says, "Can you dance?" She said, "No, I can't dance." And I said, "I believe you can dance. Would you try it?" She gets up and she dances. She's a jumping and a jiving. And we have some church now. And church hadn't even started. We on the second song of worship. Come on. You know, that's that. You know, the gift of faith often operates with the word of knowledge. And, you know, I told you earlier that sometimes these gifts overlap. And when you give a word of knowledge, sometimes this gift of faith arises in them, arises in you or something, but it'll activate. But anyways, a word of knowledge will always create faith. When I give a word of knowledge, I always get faith because I know I heard from God. And use the person that's getting, who's here been healed by word of knowledge, this church? You got a word of knowledge about something, you got healed. Margaret, anybody else? Anybody else? JC, anybody else? Missy? Miss Bonnie? See, when you got that word of knowledge, didn't I just stir up faith inside you? It wasn't like, "Oh, Tyre, oh, Pastor Travis is speaking to you." God just said, "Hey, you're healed." And it just stirs up faith. So many times they operate like that. That's all the gift of faith. Gifts of healing. Well, we should know this. You know, if you're a believer, you know, not just pastors and elders are called to heal the sick. All believers. How many is a believer here? Did you know you have a command by Jesus Christ to heal the sick? It's not an option. That's not your option. When you see a sick person, you're to heal the sick. Sometimes you lay hands on sick. Sometimes you're just to speak that disease. But you're supposed to heal the sick. He didn't say anything about praying. Did anybody see where Jesus said, "Pray for the sick"? Anybody? Anybody got a scripture where he prays for the sick? He said, "Heal the sick." I believe the Bible is what it says it says. Amen? I read it in the Greek, read it in the Hebrew, read it different translations. He says, "Heal the sick." And you're a believer, You heal the sick. You lay hands on sick, and they shall not hope so. They shall recover. Amen? So we've always taught this in church. That's why it just makes me wonder why churches all of a sudden, when COVID comes out, well, don't bring the sick in here. We might catch it. Isn't that stupid? I mean, here we are, believers. You better wear a mask when you come to church now, because I don't want to sit next to you, because I might catch what you're going to have or whatever it is. I mean, we got so fearful of this stinking disease called COVID. It's no different than the swine flu or Pennyacre flu or Humagaga flu. Same stuff. The blood of Jesus and the stripes of Jesus healed it all. And we think, oh, man, this came from China. It's really, really bad. Don't come to church. Let's shut church down. Hey, y'all just stay home. We're going to stream it today. And when we know this thing's all over, y'all can start coming back to church. But until it's all over and we know that we ain't going to get sick, y'all stay home. There's churches in Amarillo, Texas still doing that. Don't come to church. I mean, they don't have a big banner in front of the church. You got COVID? Get in this house. Because we're supposed to lay hands on the sick. Come on. I'm sorry. I need to be teaching. I'm sorry. You know, the gifts of healing, that was the first gift I sought. And I remember, you know, we saw miracles right after we got married, people healed. But, I mean, we didn't pray for the sick a lot, but we did from time to time. But I remember seeing a little boy. And we was at Zach's Yogurt here in Amarillo, Texas, a little paralyzed boy. Was Zach's over on Coulter? No, sickness. Little boy, he's crippled. And it just broke my heart. This little boy was born crippled. And I didn't want this boy to come in and just say, I want to pray for you. And so I began to pray. God, I want the gifts. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 says we're to what? We're to earnestly desire the gifts. You don't want them on you. I'll take double. Can I have your portion? I want it. I desired it. I want it. You got to want something. That's why you got to want the Holy Spirit. You don't want it on you. You ought to want it. Why? Because Jesus said you need it. Amen. Dumber than dirt you are. You know, I desire to get people healed. You know, Jesus desires people to get healed. That'll make you desire to get people healed and saved too. And so when I began to learn how to pray as Jesus, we used to pray for the sick. I mean, the sicker you are, the longer I prayed for you. And probably the worse you got. No. We prayed for a lot of people didn't get healed. I mean, we prayed a lot of people died. I did. But, you know, I didn't give up on that because I knew it was God's will to heal every single solitary time. And so I just kept on. But, you know, when I began to see how Jesus healed, and when I began to see how the gifts of the Spirit could be used in healing, we saw a tremendous, tremendous increase in healings. I mean, I don't want to go percent-wise, but we went from maybe 20% getting healed to 90% getting healed. But I expect 100% getting healed. Amen? All righty. Moving right along. So, did you notice it says gifts of healings? Plural. You know, I asked God about that. In fact, I went back there and I thought, well, sure, that's a misprint. In fact, some said gifts of healings, but that's not what it says in the Greek. It says gifts of healing. Plural, gifts, healing, single. See, only God has the gift of healing. He's got the gift. You know, every time Jesus healed, they got healed. They might not got healed instantly. Sometimes they walked away and they got healed. They all got healed. Never once did you show me the Bible where it says, well, they didn't get healed. Everybody, he said he healed them all one time, one place. He healed them all. And it'll be the very same here today because that's his will. But, you know, he's the only one that can heal. Even though you have, as a believer, you have the authority to heal people. You have the empowerment to heal people, or you can have the gifts of healing people. And so I said, you know, I asked God, I said, this is the way I talk to God. Now, it may not be very religious to you. I said, God, you know, how come, you know, I can't have the gift of healing where everybody gets healed? He said, you couldn't handle it. You couldn't handle it because you'd be like me. Be like me. So I said, you know, I'm just talking to God the other day. I said, why is it gifts? That's more than one God, but when there's one gift, why is it gifts? And here's what I heard. And you may come back next year and prove me wrong or something, but here's just what I believe. Is how many stripes did Jesus had? He had 39 stripes. Have you ever wondered why he had 39 stripes? Well, one is 40 would kill him. But 39 stripes, you know, I read this years ago, medical doctors have said there's 39 classes of disease. There's 39 classes. We know there's tens of thousands of diseases. How many strains of flu are there? A lot. How many types of cancer are there? A lot. So, you know, I believe that in those 39 types of cancers, there could be unlimited thousands and thousands and thousands of different types. Amen? It's like the animal kingdom. We got the animal kingdom. What else we got? Humanities? Epcot. Yeah, I got it. Pretty sharp. Magic. No, there's animal kingdom, but man, there's thousands of different kinds of animals in the animal kingdom. Same thing with sickness and disease. All right. You know, I think that, you know, like in medicine, we have specialties. We have specialties, and we're talking about gifts of healings. So here's what I believe. I believe that in the same way in the kingdom of God, there are different gifts of different kinds of healings. And like I said, when we first started church, we saw so many people heal of cancer. And over the years, we've seen a lot of people heal. We're still seeing people dying of cancer. But I know this. You know, I know I've learned through experience what gifts I flow in most predominantly. And they're a word of knowledge, prophecy, gifts of healings, miracles. I flow in most of the time. All right. When flowing gifts of healing, I thought about this the other day. You know, where do I see a lot of people heal consistently? It's in the musculoskeleton system. Nearly everybody I pray with, word of knowledge, is someone that has rheumatism or arthritis, it may get healed of rheumatism or arthritis. Amen? Get me? Your joints go down? You get healed? See, amen, hallelujah. Oh, that's a type. And I see people heal of, we had people heal of back issues. Amen? I know she's standing a lot. You got taller. You notice that, Margaret? He's got taller. Because you stand up straight. Stood in line and coffee for over an hour the other day and couldn't done that week before, could you? Back pain. Healing. You know, so that's kind of where I flow more in those times than different things. I heard Randy Clark, he's seen many people heal many, many different things. He says, one area I'm still seeking God. I'll never quit seeking God for that gift. He said, I never see people heal of things like dementia and Alzheimer's. We know it's God's will to heal them because we know that it's demonic. It's a demon that's doing it. It's not God didn't create them to lose their mind like that. But he said, you know, I've just been very unsuccessful praying for people that have dementia and Alzheimer's. But I believe there's somebody out there that's got that gifts. You know, you may be emotionally, it may be different things, but you can get in this gifting. And you can't just get stuck in one category and say, well, I'm just going to pray for bones and joints. I'm not going to be that. I'm going to pray for all. All right? All right. the working of miracles. The Greek words for working of miracles is two words. The works is energema, where we get the word energy. Remember where Jesus said, these works I do? That's the word energy, energema. And then it's coupled with dunamis. And we know dunamis, you know, is the miracle working power. There's no way to describe it. You know, we have exousia power, which is authority. We've got, what's the other power? Pastor Travis, Pastor Robert. We've got exousia and dunamis. What's the other one? I'm blank. Oh, gosh, I don't think that's it. Anyways, there's three powers. One's authority, one's miracle working power. In Acts 10:30, it says how God anointed Jesus. I love this. Of where? Of heaven? No. How God anointed. See, anointing is the power of God on flesh, doing things flesh can't do. See, if Jesus was just an ordinary man, he could not heal anybody. He could not raise the dead. But God anointed. See, Jesus is a prototype of mankind. Because he was God, total God, but he was total man. And so God put anointing on him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. That's why, you know, Paul and the writers of the Bible just didn't write down what they wanted to. Every word is in there by purpose by God. It's not even misprints. It doesn't change from century to century. It's exactly what God meant. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. See that? His human identity. How God anointed DJ of Amarillo, Texas. How God anointed Pastor Brandy Bennett of Amarillo, Texas. How God anointed you of Amarillo, Texas, wherever you live. Same thing. Power of God on flesh. Who went about doing good and healing all and destroying the works of the enemy. See, it took that dunamis working energy power inside of Jesus. Amen? So the work, that's what those words mean. You know, we like to talk about miracles, but here's the definition of miracle. It's a supernatural occurrence. It's something beyond natural comprehension. See, we can't understand miracles sometimes. They just happen. We've seen miracles. You know, I share this again. I mean, the very first miracle we saw was when we prayed for a little boy that didn't have a hip socket and ball joint, and overnight God built him one. Miracle. You can't comprehend stuff like that. When a blind person that's been blind for, like this little boy I prayed for in Uganda for 12 years, born blind, when he couldn't see anything, all of a sudden he can see. That's a miracle. Sure, it's a healing, but it's a miracle. See, there's a gift called the working of miracles, plural. And it may, you know, when Jesus fed 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and a few fish, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. It's not possible. It's beyond our comprehension. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to separate things, but, you know, miracles are throughout the Bible. And they reveal that God has no limitations in respect to his creation. We've all probably seen miracles or been a part of a miracle. And, I mean, it's something supernatural, very supernatural. I don't know why God had me share this with you, but when we were in South Africa, I preached 19 nights in a row at 19 different churches in South Africa. Some were churches, some were home-type services. You know, it was just, we was here, we was there, we was yonder. And so this particular night, Pastor, or Brother Kenny, he said, we're taking you to the First Baptist Church of Chingachunga, wherever it is. You know, I don't know where it was. And he said, the pastor there... Might be a town, it might be prophetic before you bring me to go there. He said, there's the pastor there. He's not going to be there tonight. And he said, he's so sad because he really wanted to meet you. And he said I talked to him this afternoon. He's in the hospital here in Durban, South Africa. He's scheduled for quadruple heart pass in the morning to save his life. He's got major, major heart issues. And he said to tell you that he is so sad that he couldn't see you and greet you, but he's very honored that you're coming to his church. And so we drive to this church there, and we get to church there, and then there's a lot of people already in church there. And he looks up, he says, well, there's brother, what his name was, I don't remember his name either. He says, there's brother so-and-so, pastor so-and-so, what's he doing here? So we go over to him, and here's this guy, he's got on a suit and tie, and gray hair, and he's just got a big smile on his face. And he said, Ty Jones, I'm so honored to have you in my church tonight. I am so pleased that you're here. Welcome, welcome. You know, thank you for being here. And just kept on talking. He said, I'm just so happy you're here. And Brother King said, I thought you were in the hospital. He said, I was, but he said, I told the doctors, I said, there's a man came all the way from America to my church, and I need to be there. He said, you can't be there. You're very, very ill. You have very blocked arteries. If you don't get them fixed soon, you'll die. And he said, you can't go there. And he said, I've got to go there, man. I've got to go there. It'd be such a dishonor to him if I'm not there. And he said, I told him, I want to be there. I got to go there. They said, okay, we're going to dismiss you. And you come right back. Because first thing in the morning, we do an open heart surgery on you. He was so happy to be there. And I said, I just right stopped. We had surgery even started. I said, I believe God wants to do a miracle in that. I said, here's your pastor that got out of bed to come to church. I should have said, there's probably people here that you didn't come to church because you got a sore toe. And I said, let's just believe God for a miracle tonight. Let's just believe God that he'd open up these arteries tonight, that he won't have to have surgery. And I said, just come down here. Just everybody lay hands on this pastor. We laid hands on him. He had the whole service. Goes back to the hospital at night. Before noon that day, I got a phone call. Pastor Kenny came to the house, our hotel there. He said, guess what happened? I said, what? He said, he gets to the hospital there. They prep him there. They run an angiogram on him. Said, those arteries are 100% open. All four of them, 100% open. Praise God. Praise God. See, that's a gift that God wants all of you walking in. Working in miracles, gifts of healing, faith, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Let me see. Got them all. All nine. All right. All right, that's it. Anybody got any questions? Anybody? Forever hold your peace. None. You got a question? All right. Well, I hope you all got some of this past. It's been very blessed to do this. I know there's people a lot more capable to teach on the gift of spirit than me, but, you know, we learn by listening to people, by you just walking out and just saying, God, we want to walk in the gifts. We want to flow in the gifts because we know it's your will for to be happening not only in church but outside the church. And so just begin to activate them. They're there, you got to activate them. You know, just like you get a brand new cell phone. You go down to AT&T and they give you a brand new cell phone there, and you can carry it in your pocket 2 years and it expires, then you got to take it back and you never use it. Why? Because you never activated it. Yesterday in the mail, I got a new ranch credit card for the ranch, but I had to activate it. You know, I could have went down to the feed store and bought some feed there and give it to him, and this thing's no good. Why? Because I never activated it. You got to activate the gifts inside you. Amen? All righty. All right. Anybody got any questions? Anybody? Who wants to flow in the gifts? Be serious.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website at arenaoflifechurch.org or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.